And one of the things about the message of God's grace is this. There's no such thing as 80% grace. There's no such thing as, well, about 70% of the way there. It doesn't exist. One of the more controversial subjects about, and controversial in the sense of people get their niggers in a twist about, does Jesus heal today or does he not? And one of the things for me is that if you believe in the grace of God, then this is a given. You can't go 80% of the way with God and go, well, let's just decide that we're going to carve up this gospel to the bits that we like, the bits that suit us, and the bits that are a little bit difficult, well, I'm just going to redesign who God is. I'm going to talk about that today because it is my absolute, complete and utter 100%. And people say, oh, you should never be so dogmatic. Well, I have to be dogmatic about this one. I believe that Jesus Christ is a healer, body, soul, and spirit. I believe that God wants you well. I do not believe for one minute that sickness is from God. I do not believe for one minute that there's any blessing in being sick. It's making me laugh. Thank goodness Penny's on kids this morning because I'm going to tell holiday stories and she can't do anything about it. So every time Penny goes in the swimming pool, it's funny because I was thinking about talking about healer, Jehovah Rophe. This is his name from Exodus 15. And every time Penny goes in the pool, her ears get blocked. So it was the most frustrating holiday for me in one sense because it was honestly like being out with a pensioner. Hello? And everything. I was talking away to her and either she's really smart, okay? I haven't quite worked this out because my wife is clever and she's going, stuff this. I'm on holiday. I'm going to ignore him for 2 weeks and pretend it's my ears are blocked because I would be having a conversation, chatting away like this here and she'd be going, you know, like your granny does when she has no clue what you're talking about. And so I'd have to go, Penny, did you get that? And she'd be like, what? What? Oh, it's my ears. So this has been like this for 2 weeks. I'd gone to the pharmacy and got her some ear stuff. 10 euros, didn't work, totally ripped off. But anyway, we're bunging this stuff in her ear and it was starting to crackle. So we're heading on the road back up to Cali and I'm thinking, I'm speaking on healer. Okay, I love that. And sometimes families are bogging. Right, so Penny's sitting working at her ear like this here, and you know, with a tissue, and I'm going, oof, you know, and I started to scratch my arm. So picture the scene, hurtling up, and I had a couple of bites on my arm. And then, oh crap, the top came off and started to pour blood down my arm. I was like, oh, 80 mile an hour, Penny, and she's like, what? All right. At this point, all I hear from the back is. And I can't turn around because the French are all mental drivers. And if you turn your head for 1 minute, they're into the back of you. And I was like, Penny, to protect the innocent, I'm just going to not name the children. One child's going, I'm going to be sick. And quick, sandwich bag, that. Everywhere, emptied their guts. Luckily, we were in my mum's spare car. So it was fine for us. As Penny is leaning over, right? Like we're still going, I actually can't hear anything. All we hear from the back seat is, oh, I've got diarrhea. I was like, what? Not on the seats. Don't do it on the seats. Too late, Daddy. Right? This is true. And I'm thinking, oh, the irony. Talking about healer. So there we are. I'm pouring blood, right? Penny is doing this here, mopping up sick and going, is there any spare pants in the car that we can send back? I'm like, I had this moment going, my family is bogging. Yous are all stinking. Look at us, we're just minging. What is wrong with us? There was only one child out of the whole family not contributing body fluids at this point. You know what I mean? I was like, Sophie, what are you going to give us, Sophie? Why don't you snotter everywhere? Healer. I was like, hi, you're having that laugh. Look at this. I was thinking, why don't we just pull over and torch the thing and tell my mat was stolen? Because, oh. About 2 minutes later, when it's all calmed down, we're driving along, listening to the Frozen soundtrack for the 455th time. Love is an open door. And Penny goes, oh. Like this, and this brown stuff just starts to pour out of her ears. And I was just going, I think I can hear, and I'm going, put it back in, that's stinking. I'm going, seriously, my family. So people go, oh, was your family holiday all restful? I'm going, are you mental? You mean a holiday with a 2-year-old, a 4-year-old, an 11-year-old, and a wife who can't hear? It's just shocking. So it was funny. It was funny. But in the middle of it all, I was thinking, God, if you're a healer, then do you know what? My family's the best place to start because we are all stinking. And so why does it matter to you today? Why does Jehovah Rapha matter to you today? I'm gonna take about 20 minutes. I'm gonna do this really quick. I want you to open your heart to the Holy Spirit this morning because God wants you well. God wants your family well. God wants your children well. God does not want you to be sick. God does not make you sick. Sickness is not a part of the kingdom of God in one way or the other. Now, here's what we're not going to do today. In Titus 3, verse 9, it says this, be careful, if you can stick the verse up, be careful to avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law, because they are unprofitable and they are useless. Here's what I find. Please, people, stop wasting your life on Facebook. I don't mean looking at it. I mean, I sometimes look at some of the discussions that go on Facebook about Christianity and about issues, and I just think, are people crazy? Let me let you into a secret. You're never going to resolve anything with anyone who wants to argue online on Facebook with you. You're simply wasting your time, all right? Remember what I said about mud wrestling pigs? Don't do it because you get dirty, and what happens? The pig only enjoys it. You've heard that one? Okay. So don't mud wrestle pigs online. It is not worth your while because the issue for me is this. When you are sick or whenever your children are sick, who do you want to encounter? Somebody with a sound theological argument or somebody who has encountered Jesus Christ in his presence and his power and can bring that kingdom to bear in your life? Which one do you want? Are you going to flick through Facebook and go, oh, he was really clever arguments? Or are you going to come to a place like Exchange Church where hopefully we're a group of people who go, I believe that Jesus is healer, now let me put my hands on you and let's see the kingdom of God bring healing into your life? Which one do you want to be? So it's just a wee throw it out there to go, please don't waste your life. It is God's will to heal. It is God's will to heal. I believe that. The rationale in most people's lives go like this. I prayed and I didn't get healed, or I prayed for somebody and they didn't get better. Therefore, God's will is that he only heals some of the time. The issue for me there is that you have tens of thousands of people recreating God in their own image. I recreate God according to my experience of him. And that's who God is. Well, we've got a difficulty with like if we live like that. Let me ask you a question. Who's been sick? Hands up. If you haven't been sick, I mean, in your life ever, okay? I want to see hands in the air. Okay. Keep them up. Keep them up. This is like workout. All of those people, which is everyone in the room for people watching online, how many of you, therefore, in sickness, have you never been sick, Josh? Put your hand up, okay? There's a point to this. Now, everyone who, whenever you were sick, your first response was, praise Jesus, I am feeling like a pile of poo this morning, and praise be to God, keep your hands up. How many people, when you were sick, however, keep your hands up, people, your first response was, I'm going to take a tablet, phone the doctor, and therefore you have gone and done that at some point. Okay. Who's going to see the doctor in their life? You've never been to see the doctor. Okay. Okay, it doesn't matter if you've seen the doctor. Don't complicate things. If you've seen the doctor, okay, put your hands down. Here's my point. My point is this. I'm not going to get into silly arguments about people who say, does God heal or does he not? Why? Because instinctively in all of us, every single person in this room has experienced sickness, and your response as a human being was, I want to be better. Isn't that right? Instinctively, we know we were not created to be dysfunctional in our bodies. And why? We reflect the image of God. We reflect who God is, and God wants his people whole. And let me tell you, the religious spirit today that tells people that sickness is a blessing that God will bring into your life to chastise you are completely and utterly wrong. God is a good God. He's a kind God. He's a loving God. And just like you instinctively know, I was sick and I wanted to be better. There's something in all of us that goes, I know that I was created to be whole. I was not created for anything less than wholeness. So today is not about theology. It's an invitation to a revelation in your heart which will lead you to a greater experience. And I want to ask you the question, why does this matter to you? Well, it matters to you not just because if you're ever sick that you know that you can go to God and find healing. The prevailing spirit of the age today is self. I think, I want, I desire, I feel, I self, 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 self. And it's so prevalent in the church today. And in the middle of all of this self comes the crashing truth that Jesus is your healer. Body, soul, and spirit. God wants you to be well. And whatever you might think, whatever your experience may have been, I have seen the healing of God in my life, and I have seen people die in my life. I have prayed for people who have become well, and I've prayed for people who died. Okay, so I'm standing here this morning saying, my experience is probably a lot like yours. It's a whole mixture of things. But what we cannot do this morning is start to renegotiate the truth of who Jesus is and who he is revealed to be. Because he is revealed as healer. And that means your body. And people will say, well, you see the problem with grace and the problem with this kind of teaching is you get people's hopes up. Let's just stop for a wee minute. It still gets people's hopes up. Because if you tell people that Jesus is their healer and they don't get healed, they'll be awful disappointed. What, more disappointed than being sick and thinking it was God that did it? Or let's talk about getting people's hopes up. What is going to happen to you when you die? Because the whole hope of glory, the whole message of the Christian faith is believe for something more than you can see. Believe for something above and beyond yourself. Put your faith into Christ. Put your faith into someone who you will have never seen with your physical eyes, but you know and you feel him in your heart. Believe for something more than you. So there's no problem in my book about saying to people, believe that Christ is your healer. Believe that God wants you to be well. You may not see it now. You may have to walk through a process, but his heart is always to have you well. 110%. God's continually revealing that. In Ephesians 3:17-20, it says this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through love, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church through Christ Jesus, to all generations forever and ever. So here's the point. See if anyone wants to get you embroiled into silly arguments about healing. Simply what I would say is this. Let's not talk about healing, but let's introduce people to the healer. Do you get that? Because we'll argue all day long about, does it mean this, does it mean that? But when you encounter God in his presence and in his power, and you introduce people to the God, the healer himself, then silly arguments become almost secondary. So let me make it clear, I believe in healing. So where are you now? Where are you now in this issue? God reveals himself, and I want you to see the increasing length and breadth and depth and height of God's love. I told a story a few years ago about when I worked for the bank, and I had to go down south to do some business in Dundalk. And I had this yellow coupe sports car, because I worked for a car company at that stage, bank's car company, something like that. And I remember something, because I got lost. And does anyone know in Dundalk, there's the Fife's Banana Factory, right? Do you know that? So in Dundalk, there's a big factory, it's called Fife's, where Fife's bananas are packaged or whatever. So I stopped at the side of the road in my yellow coupe, and I pulled down the window, and I said, excuse me, I'm looking for such and such an address. And the guy went, do you work for Fife's? And I went, no, why? And he looked at the car, and I went, oh, we've got a live one here. And I said, look, I'm looking, can you tell me the quickest way to get to such and such? And he said, well, no, that would really depend where you're coming from. And I went, well, I'm coming from here, mate. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, oh, my word, I am here, and I want to go there. And he went, well, you see, and he started to explain, if you were coming from the other side of town, it would be way quicker. And I kept having to go, no, I don't work for Fife's. I know I'm right here now. And it's like, talk about Irish, for goodness sake. I don't want to be stereotypical. But I'm here today, and I want to go there the quickest way. Can you tell me that? Now, you need to understand this, that whatever your view today of healing and who God is, that you need to start with where you're at, and don't be embarrassed or don't be upset about it. Because God understands. Here's your options for where you believe Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. Number one, God does not heal anymore. There's a position right there that is maintained by churches around the country. God finished healing. We are no longer in an age of dispensation, in a dispensation where healing is available. That was for the New Testament to simply validate the works of Jesus and the apostles, but it finished as soon as that all finished. And our greatest healing, the greatest healing is salvation, people say. And when you get to heaven, that will be it. Whereas I kind of go, well, actually, if one person is healed in the world today, that whole argument is nonsense. And I'm that person. Infertile, 3 healthy kids, okay? So I've experienced the healing of God. My dad dying from cancer, oh, there's two people. So that argument just doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense at all. Sometimes God heals, this is number 2, and sometimes he does not. This is where healing becomes Russian roulette. The dominant thought is that God does not will for every believer to be well. God chooses you to be well and you to be sick. Dun, 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 big Russian roulette of a wheel. Some are going to receive the blessing of health, but God is deciding in his sovereignty to withhold it from other people. God's blessing can come to you in terms of wholeness and enjoying your family, but for you, God's blessing can look like sickness, disease, pain, and death. Pray and cross your fingers, and if your lucky number comes up, then God is good. Praise Jesus, you will be well. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. Let me contend that that position is extremely difficult to assert from the Word of God. It's riddled with inconsistency, it's riddled with difficulty, and the position actually misunderstands the nature of God, the ministry of Jesus, and the whole nature of salvation. But however, it's really easy to take that position from your own experience. Sometimes God is good, sometimes he is not. Sometimes God heals, but sometimes he doesn't, and we just need to say, oh well, I just don't know. I want to encourage you this morning, do not ever elevate your experience over the truth of who God has revealed to be. Your experience is always secondary to the truth revealed of God. So whenever God reveals himself as healer, what we have to do is we have to work through our disappointment with God. We have to work through our questions with God. But what we dare not do, because if you want to live going from pillar to post and insecure, what we dare not do is renegotiate who God says that he is. The cry of my heart for my life is, where I do not see the truth of God revealed manifest in my life, then so change my heart, and so enlighten my eyes, and so increase the love and the length and the breadth and the depth and the height of your love within me, so that my life lives up to what you have revealed yourself to be. But I dare not live down and say, God, you know what? It's just not who you are. The third position is this. It's always the heart and the will of God to heal people. That's my position. What I would say is this, is healing has been provided. Sometimes it is received and sometimes it is not. That's the real issue. Now, I don't have time today to go into, is it your faith? Is it my faith? Is it a mixture of faith? I have a series called Healer online. It's free. You can go and listen to it, where I cover all of those things. What about faith? Do you have enough? What about when people don't get healed? It's all up there if you want to go and see it. What we have to do in our lives is magnify Jesus and his work. Whenever I magnify Jesus in my life, I'm not afraid of the gaps that exist between what he says and how I live. It requires a solid grounding in the love of God. People who are secure are not afraid to say, and secure in the love of God, are not afraid to say, there are gaps, but I will not let them blow me over. There are gaps in what I'm living. We're humble enough to say, it's not my full experience, but I know that it can be, because I'm going to elevate Jesus every time. I'm not going to live in a place where I elevate myself over Jesus, because God has said that he is the one who heals. Now, I understand that this is difficult for some people. I understand that, and I have found it difficult in my life too. But I want to say to you this morning that it's impossible to live in breakthrough and hold two positions in your life which contradict one another. You can't say, God, do you know what I think, actually? I think that when it talks in the Word about being double-minded and you not receiving anything, I think that that holds true in the area of healing. I think that double-mindedness is a curse in the church today. Does God love me or does he not? Because whenever we say, does God heal or does he not, what we're in fact saying is, does he love me or does he not? Who, you don't even have to have kids. Who's looked at a sick child and not thought, I would do anything right now to make you better? When Hope was vomiting and diarrheaing and for the last week, and I had her at hospital, okay, so I'm not averse to taking kids to doctors and hospitals, I would have done anything to take her place. Isn't that right? Anything at all. Think about that for one moment. Think about that for one moment. I would have gone and done anything if I could have just taken that offer and put it onto me, and I would have carried it so that she could be well. Now that's me. And in Luke 11 it says, how much more does your Father, if we as earthly parents know how to look after our kids, how much more does he care to look after us? And so what I want to encourage you today is this. I'm going to take a few minutes just to explain from Exodus 15 about the name of God. Is that if you really, really want to understand how God loves you, whenever you say, God, will you heal or will you not? What you're in fact saying is, God, do you love me or do you not? Because it's always his heart to love and to bless. And so be honest with the Lord and go to him with that. Because here's what I've found in my life. Whenever I start to renegotiate this little bit, it's like starting to pull. Imagine one of those crochet type things, and you start to pull at the edge. And you go, well, I can live with that little bit of inconsistency about God. And we start to pull at the thread. And before you know it, we're pulling threads all around the picture. And the picture goes. What I've decided is I'm not going to pick at the thread. I'm just going to say, Jesus, you are who you are. I am who I am, says God. I is who I is and all that. You're revealed. And so I'm going to keep looking at you until I start to reflect you. That's what the word says. I'm not going to start and re-crochet who I believe you to be based on what I've experienced. Does that make sense? Now, this series is about the names of God. And so I did a little bit of research. Because God, Jehovah Rapha, the healer, do you all know what your names mean? No? Helen. It means light and bright. Isn't that awesome?
What a,
Ryan, I love the way... This series, the reason why I wanted to do this series with this, that names are really important. They tell you about who you are talking to or dealing with. It's always been that way. You know, you think about, you know, the gangsters, Scarface, told you about him. You know, Knuckles, the piano player, couldn't play a note. You know, but we use names all the time, which describe an attribute or a characteristic about the person. So your name's really, really key. And the other guys who have gone the weeks before me have done a much better job of explaining that. So Ryan, where's Ryan? Do you know what Ryan means? Little king, young leader, royalty. I think that's awesome. What about Ruth? Maybe in the Donald love, but according to everybody else, it means companion and friend. Isn't that brilliant? That's a good one, Wayne.
Wagon maker.
Yeah. Craftsman and wagon maker. This is a brilliant one, Philip. Phil. Fond of horses. There's a marriage made in heaven right there. Wagon maker and fond of horses. It all stopped. You all say in a few years, we remember the morning that it started. Is the Lord just like showed us? Well, there's a partnership. Fond of horses. And let's move on. John, he's downstairs. God has been gracious. Isn't that lovely? What about Brian? It means camp. Right? Yeah. And I don't think it's referring to a row of tents. I'm just saying, okay? And Andrew, of course, strong, manly, sexy, intelligent, gorgeous, fit. Oh, did I make that? I might have made that last one up, but I mean that's what Andrew means. It means strong and manly. It's what does Connor mean? Keeper of hounds, Connor. You should get together with Phil as well. I mean, there's a whole animal Wild West theme going on here. Your name, the name of God, tells you perfectly. When it comes to God, it's the name of God reveals his nature. Now, this is really important. The essence of God and who he is always revealed by the names that he uses. Each one reveals a little bit of his character, and those things never change. Whereas we can act contrary to the names that we have, doubtless there's some days that Phil is not fond of horses. I don't think he's ever made a wagon in his life, right? And there's not much young about our Ryan at the back there, let's be honest. I, however, am very consistent with my name. Strong and manly and gorgeous. We can act contrary to what we are called. We can act contrary to our nature, in fact. But God never does. God's actions are always completely consistent to his nature. God has always been and will always be what his names describe him to be. They will never be at odds. So if you want a revelation of God's nature, and you want to understand that, understand what his names mean. Put those into your life as a boundary. That's what I try to do. Jehovah Nissi, God is my banner. He glistens and he shines in front of me. Jehovah Shammah, God is present. He is with me all of the time. Jehovah Jireh, or Jireh, God is our provider. That was a joke there. And Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. And so boom, boom, tsh, the old ones are the best. And today, Jehovah Rophe, God is my healer. It's a boundary in my heart. Jehovah Rophe, the word implies, listen to me. People have said, well, the greatest healing is salvation. And I believe that. I believe that even if you're sick when you die, you can go to heaven and be in glory forever. But I believe that actually the word Rophe in the Old Testament, in Exodus 15, 26, it says this. John, if you put it up for me. Exodus 15, 26. I will put none of the diseases, Hebrew word, makala. That didn't mean that it was sin. What it meant was physical diseases. It meant things that made you sick as a person. God said, this is before the work of Jesus. This is revealing his heart and his nature in the Old Testament. I won't put those diseases on you, which I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord, who I am Jehovah Rophe, the God who heals you. The word implies spiritual, emotional, and physical healing. It is God who heals and God who makes you whole. The word is used 67 times in 62 verses, and it means to make you thoroughly inside and out whole. You see it if you're interested in Genesis 20, Leviticus 13, 37. I've got tons of references. But the point is this, that God is revealing to you today that his heart for you is wholeness. His heart for you is health. His heart for you is to be strong. His heart for you is not to live with conditions, whether they're simply irritating or life-threatening or debilitating. God wants his people whole. That is the Father heart of God. The term Rophe simply describes to you today that this is who I am for you, and I will not change. I will not change. So I want to encourage you today. Whenever I see Ben, there's many times on holiday I took him on a high ropes course. And the French have a very kind of, let me use a French expression, laissez-faire type of attitude towards health and safety, Gov. What I mean by that is I took him to this high ropes course, and it was maybe 70, 80 feet at some points in the air, two carabiners, okay? The safety briefing was on with a harness and big, massive zip lines. And what you had to do was you had to bring your own, well, they attached it to you, the thing that attaches on the zip line. What's that called? The rollers? Whew. All right, so really, really laissez-faire. The three-minute briefing for what would turn out to be a three-and-a-half-hour activity was, okay, young men, red, click on, click off. Do that at all times. Bonne chance. Enjoy yourself. I'm sitting there going, no, seriously. He's heading up into the trees, okay? 80 foot in the air, and that's all you're going to say. Just make sure you're clipped on. I could have told him that. And so what Ben did was I walked underneath him, like this, thinking, if he falls, there's stuff all I'm going to do. But to be fair, my heart, I was sweating as he had a whale of a time, a ball of a time. Zip lining, like it was, this thing is a mega high ropes. It's like I say, 3.5 hours to complete it. And at one point, he's standing, when you hit the tree on a zip line, there's like this little square platform. And you get on and you take the carabiner off the thing and you stick it onto the wire so that you're attached. So on the zip line, you take it off first, attach yourself before you remove your zip thing. What does Ben do? He gets off, takes the zip line off. Talk about panic. 70 feet in the air. Tiny platform, maybe a foot and a half wide. I look up and I think, do I scream at this point, Ben? At which point he goes, what? And falls right off. Or do I go, Ben? Or just go, oh, Jesus, send your angels right now. And I simply, in a daddy voice, Ben. And he's thinking, don't move your feet. Please, God, don't move your feet. Ben, you're not attached. You're not attached. No drama. No, you're not attached, son. And he looked. And he just very gently took one out, clipped it on, at which point I wet myself. Yes. I just let it go. I was like, oh! Ben, remember, first and carabiner first, every time. Got it, Dad. So the heart of a father is this. Whenever Ben goes to, whenever you go towards danger, whenever you go to a place which is bad for you, I don't believe that God is into drama and shout. I think you just, if you listen carefully, you will hear the voice of a father going, you're not attached. Attach yourself again. I'm your healer. Whenever you start to feel sick or you start to feel afraid about your body or whenever you're struggling, if you listen, I believe that once we start to go into those territories, because when healing's great, like if you don't need it, isn't it? Oh, I won't believe God heals until we actually need healing, and then it's a whole different ballgame. But I believe that once we're standing on that platform heading towards sickness, I think you just hear the voice of God gently going, you're not attached, I'm your healer. I'm your healer. And if you listen really carefully, that's the heart of a father. Not going to cause you drama, not going to cause you to fall, but I'm just going to quickly speak to you and go, get yourself attached, I'm your healer. Because if you start to try and move on yourself, you're going to fall. You are going to fall. And the heart of a father, you know, you want to protect your children from danger, don't you? You want to protect your children from heartache. You want to protect your kids from hurting themselves. And you just hear the voice of the father saying, I am Rophe. I am your healer. I am your healer. I'm going to just cut out the middle of my talk here and just finish with my last point. One of the things I really want you to understand is this, is that this attribute of God, like all of his names, they don't change. God's mind, will, and nature do not change. It's one of the things that we talk about with God, that he's immutable. It means that he just doesn't. Who he is constant and without change. There's never any change in God's essence and in his being. In Malachi 3:6, he says, I am the Lord and I do not change. There has never been a time, and there will never cease to be a time, where God does not want you to be well. I have taken a lot of stick for preaching this. I have personally found myself castigated and, you know, laughed at, accused of all sorts of things. Because simply, as a church, we've decided that I believe that God, from Scripture, wants people to be well. And God will never change that. And we're not going to change it. I don't believe that today in this world, that whenever people are sick, that they want theology or they want a church program. They want to be well. And that's when you meet Jesus, that's what he does. And what I want to do is I want to say to you today that God has never evolved, he's never grown, and he's never improved. All that he has ever been, he is today. He has forever been healer, and he will forever be healer. He will not change for the better, because he's already perfect, and in being perfect, he will never be any worse. He's completely affected, unaffected by anything outside of himself. God will not improve, nor will he deteriorate. It's not like the people that we have to live with every day, but look at these verses here. God's not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do, or has he spoken and will he not make it good? And he who is the glory of Israel will not lie, nor will he change his mind, for he is not human that he should change his mind. I want to tell you this, that God in his nature, I believe that for some of us, we maybe have struggled with some of this message in our lives or in our situation or praying for people, but I just want to leave it today by saying this. It's that if you turn to God today, if you turn to Jesus today, and you put your faith not in your faith, or you put your faith not in a theological argument, but put your faith into the person of Christ, you will hear his voice saying, I want you well and whole. I am your healer, not just in your spirit. This is not just about salvation. This was about the whole deal. Whenever Jesus announced salvation, He didn't announce your sins are forgiven solely. He announced, I have come to complete you and make you whole. Why do you think that lepers ran to Christ? Because they would get a theological treatise on sin and the nature of sin and the hope of glory? Or do you think they ran to Christ because whenever the words that he used were something way much more than come and get your sins forgiven, it was come and be whole. Come and be whole. And so our Kingdom Healer series is about 9 weeks long. What I've tried to do is just give you a sense of what we believe as this church, to explain that the nature of God, and with this I finish, the nature of God is not up for renegotiation or redoing. It's simply not. You can't go 80% of the way with grace and say, well, you know, I'm 80% of the way there, or they're 80% of the way there. It's either all or nothing. He's either healer or he's not. It's what grace teachers would call mixing law and mixing grace. As soon as you start to mix, it becomes of no effect. Do you understand that? That's a whole other talk. Whenever you start to mix a bit of does he not, the whole deal becomes of no effect. That's why it's all or nothing. That's why on Jehovah Rophe, I have to stand here today and say, he is healer. He is healer. He was from the start. He is today, and he forever will be. So be encouraged. This week, if you're sick, if this week you're talking to someone who's sick, you know, we did at one stage start to pray for our children over the last week of vomiting and diarrhea out of utter frustration. If I said a penny, if I have to wipe one more booty bum, I am going to go crazy, you know. And she, full of light and wisdom and the Holy Spirit, said, have you prayed for them? So she went, shut up and go back and being deaf and stop condemning me. You know what I mean? You know what I did to wind her up at times? Over the dinner table, just because she was annoying me, I would sit and go, and she'd go, what's that? I wasn't saying anything, I was just going, just anyway, we insight into how our family life works. But I want to encourage you that it took me a day or two actually on my holidays to go, Lord, I need to calibrate here. I need to recalibrate and go, you are my healer. You are my children's healer. And I am going to stand and we're going to put our hands on these kids and we're going to pray for them. And so we did. So I want to encourage you today, start with where you're at. This week, don't wait until your next door neighbor is dying from cancer. If you've got a headache this week, if you've got a sore thumb this week, if you're just feeling a little bit out of sorts this week, let your positive confession of faith be, you're my healer. You're my healer. You're my restorer. And let's see the kingdom of God in our lives. Amen. Why don't you stand to your feet? Good, good Father.